soul. For something, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden, and I was 'neath a load of guilt and shame. We've all been there. Oh, but then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Can you say that this morning? Oh yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh the joy that floods my soul. Because something, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Oh, and since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, for I shall never cease to praise Him. And I will shout it while eternity rolls. Let's all stand. Oh yes, He touched me. Sing it once more as Brother Terrence comes. Oh yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something, something happened.
See one with us this morning. Glad to have our visitors back there with us. Remember them. Just remember Sister Johnny still having problems with her leg. She called this morning, so she said she's here in spirit, but not in body. So just remember her. Also remember Nanny sick this morning. She's not with us. Also remember, still remember little Hudson. He's doing fine, but just continue to pray for him. You know, little fellas coming into the world. So also, Janet gave me one, said Ashley asked us to put Kevin on a continual prayer list. That's her husband. He's having serious memory issues, and they're going to the doctor in a couple weeks. So remember, Kevin Sims is his name. That's Ashley's husband. So remember him also with a special prayer. I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling still on the highways. Wherever they may be today, come down, bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with our ones that are sick that we have mentioned here, Lord. Remember Kevin Sims, and remember Nanny and Sister Johnny, and still remember little Hudson there, Lord. And just all the ones, Lord, we all have minor sicknesses and things. Lord, just come down and take those things away from us today. Be with the services. Be with Dad. He's also coughing, Lord. Just take that away from him also. Remember Wade and Brother Chris Long and them are traveling down in South Georgia, Lord, to just be with them also. Bless us all. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Oh, only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Or only believe. Yes, only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Only believe.
Amen. Brother Larry, would you come this morning? Receive the morning tithes and offering.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this privilege to come to hear the Word of God, knowing that one day it'll be taken from us, but still we'll have that Word in our heart, and perhaps we'll have other ways of hearing your voice, Lord God. So while we have this opportunity, let us take advantage of it, not only here in church, but at home, hearing the Word of God. Reading, hearing the tapes and things. Lord, help us now in this service. We thank you that we can give a part of our natural living to the kingdom and it can have an eternal purpose. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, He is Lord, Nakia Elf.
Oh, He is Lord. Yes. He is Lord, for He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. This morning, oh yes, He is Lord. He is Lord, for He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. For every knee shall
stand. We're going to ask Brother Colley if he'll come.
He is Lord, for He is Lord, for He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord, and every knee shall
confess unto God what we have need of. Confess that He will bless us. You know, sometimes people seem to be a little afraid to say that God has healed me, God has taken me, that Satan might hear and put something worse on you. But don't never surrender unto Satan. He says confess as it's done, although you may not see it done yet. It's already done, so.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to read this morning from 1 John. chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful that we have a Savior, that we can confess our needs and our desires unto, and they can be filled. Let us never be afraid of what you promised us that you would give it unto us. The enemy may rise against us and try to destroy, but Lord, we have you, Lord, to continue to lead us and to bless. So we ask you just to bless everyone, Lord, throughout the building, downstairs and upstairs. Lord, giving each one what they have need of, let our desires always be unto you and our confession that what you promised, Lord, you'll do. And we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. First John, the 4th chapter, begin with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another.
No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in him, in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
There is no fear in love, but the perfect love casts out fear, because fear is in torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. How great is the love of God to us. Amen. I like that scripture. It says that we love him because he first loved us. There's a song that says that. I love him because he first loved me. But it's because of his love to us that we know what true love is. Amen. Amen. Let's, if you have the Spiral Songbook near you, let's turn to page 195. Let's sing a couple of songs while the Sunday school classes are coming up. Everybody happy in the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen.
Behold, what manner of man is this who stills the raging seas? He heals the sick, the lame, the halt, and makes the blind to see. He opens all the prison doors and sets the captive free. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who heals the lame and halt, who said, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. He stands as the mighty healer now in Christ, look unto me. Behold, what manner of man is this, what manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, he is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity.
Amen. Can we sing that song, Word of God Ever True? It's in the key of F. Amen.
Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. It gives us strength, it helps us cope. In this world, wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Oh, word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you, we have come.
I'm singing, singing.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. He gives us what we have need of, right? He's the on-time God. Amen. Let's sing that word. Let's sing that song, Through It All. Let's sing that chorus, Through It All. We'll change over the service here in just a minute. The key of Elf. Oh, through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, I've learned to trust in God. The greatest weapon he could give us is his word. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes out this morning. Hope everyone had a great time over Christmas with your family. I really enjoyed all the believers and our family coming out from New Mexico, making that sacrifice. We've really had a good time together. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. For I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. For I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy.
come to see you. Amen and amen. I believe you can see him if you're looking for him. You just got to know where to look for. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We welcome our visitors back there. We say to you, you come here one time, you're a visitor. Two times, you're a part of us because we're just a family of God gathered together. But pray that the Lord would bless you. Brother David and all of the, Daniel and all of them's here. And, you know, they probably empty out west out there, but that's all right. We're glad they're full up here. So we're glad for you to be here. Amen. Remember now, Wade and Brother Chris Long will be with us, the Lord willing, preaching the watch night service. But this morning, or today, they're down at Brother Altig's. Wade and Jean took him down to Brother Altig's to minister there this weekend for him. And then we'll be having the watch night service on Tuesday night, starting at 8 o'clock. Now, Sister Esther wants to meet after the evening service with the sisters of the church and things to rearrange and get everything set to where that, you know, be in order. So remember that. Sister Esther wants that. We'll try to remember to announce it to Ken this afternoon that, you know, they want to get everything ready. And to you sisters, you bring your little finger foods and your different sweets and things. And, you know, and we generally get here about 7 o'clock. All right. And that way we can eat a little bit from there on till 8. Service starts at 8 o'clock. Then we'll go to midnight and have the watch night service. So just remember them and remember what's taking place and all, and that the Lord would bless each one. Then remember now, being Tuesday night, there will not be a Wednesday night service. All right, you got that? No Wednesday, because you'd be going home, coming right back. Okay? So just remember that. No Wednesday night service. We're getting everything kind of back in order. Coming into the first of the year. Then the fellowship meeting will be here on the third Saturday in January. So remember that and get everything ready for those things. All right, if I miss anything, you just help me to remember. My wife is real sick. Last night she couldn't sleep. She's got a lot of problems with sinuses, I guess. I don't know. They don't know. But it's, you know, congestion and things, and she's having trouble with her stomach. So remember that and just keep her in your prayers. But she's not able to be here this morning, okay? Any other announcements? Okay. Well, let's just turn to Matthew 24. It's where we've been reading for a while, okay? Father, we thank you for this day and your grace unto us. Thank you for all things. And we just pray that you would bless us and guide us now as we try to speak about you. Come on the scene and touch us all, Lord. Touch these old throats and things, these coffins and different things that happening. Our wife's sick there with her stomach and her head and problems and all. Just be with her and touch her and let everything be all right. Remember all of the sick among us, because you said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so we depend upon that. Have your way now as we read your word and talk about you. We ask you to come on the scene and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Matthew 24, we'll begin reading at verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, we're using this to show you what this is, and then where we're at. Right? So this is the Mosque of Omar that was put into the place there of the temple. You know, all right? And when you see that, remember, let them understand, okay? We have to have that. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is what Jesus told the disciples or the followers to get out, because Titus was coming in to destroy Jerusalem. And not a true Christian or any of them was caught left in the city, you know, when Titus came in AD 70, because they all took his word. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that
give suck in those days. See, they were going to have to flee into the Judean hills, which would have been snowbound during that period of time. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, nor neither on the Sabbath day, because it'd be hard to travel. It'd be hard for you to get up and down. But then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, not ever, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Remember how we explained that? We'll get back to it in a minute. Not that God's was going to let it run out, but now he decided he'd take off a few days and do it. No, that's not the situation that we're getting to. All right? Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. Now, you know how you can translate the word and into the word even. So then read it this way. For there shall arise false Christ, even false prophets. See? So you're putting it to where you can give a little better understanding. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, we got the quote in here in a minute where the prophet said, frankly, it'd get them tied up. He had to cut it short. All right. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Now, we're coming down to where we're at. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now coming down and bringing it, like I said, reading the Bible to see the day that we're living. It's so plain that we can see right there that Jesus was bringing it all the way down and telling them to get out of Jerusalem, because Titus was coming. But he told them about the Mosque of Omar, that would be put in the place of the temple. All right? Coming on down, and then brought it down to our day. To where? To where that they would be false Christ. Now, he didn't say Christ singular. He uses Christ singular in the one verse, in the next is Christ, which is plural. Christ means the anointed one. Right? All right? See, then the anointed one, that anointing on the people, on the prophets, on their teachings, on their doings, would be the thing to where that when we're in the end time, look at where it's at, what's taking place. All right? Bring it right on down to where that we are today, of how the so-called believers of the message have done everything they can do to try to destroy the message and its effect in things by bringing forth and proclaiming they have the revelation. See, why would you move out and do it the way things are, people are doing if you ain't going to claim you got the revelation of what's going on? See? Right? I mean, you have no reason to move if you don't think you got something to move with or don't think that you're in charge. So look at the hour that we're living. It's right down to the last, to that point of the Christ. All right. False Christ. Now listen. The anointing is Christ. There is only one Christ. Now get this before we move into any part to think about it. There's just one Holy Ghost. There's one Christ. But he can anoint many. And they become Christ, anointed ones. All right? That Christ then doesn't mean that you're right because you can be anointed every day of your life, as we'll read. The prophet said, on your spirit and still be lost. All right? Now, that's what we want to go back and pick up some things in a minute and try to bring it out. And especially to the ones that haven't heard the services, we don't want to leave you behind. We've been talking about how that they would be in the last days false Christ. Now, the Christ is not false. If it is Christ, there's not a false anointed one. You know what I mean? There's a people that are false themselves that are anointed. All right? Now, Balaam was anointed. Balaam's prophecies is in the Bible. All right? He put it in there. Okay? All right? And he is the anointed. In other words, the same Holy Spirit that was on Moses or Elijah or any of the prophets, that same Holy Spirit was on Balaam. Not no different Christ now. Get that in your mind now. And don't think there's a Christ for this group of people and a Christ for this group of people. There's only one Christ. Only one anointed one that is anointed of God. You say, well, these others are anointed of the devil. Well, you believe what you want to about it, but he ain't got too much to anoint with. He can do a lot of trouble. But I'd rather stay with the truth of following it the way it is, that we're in the day when there's many, many different ones coming forth in the land to describe and say that they are the Christ. There used to be a group down in Florida there back a few years ago that they went for about 6 months in a constant revival. And they were Baptists. Constant 6 months revival. You know who they thought they were? The Spirit of Elijah. You remember that? That's been about, 10 years ago? Something like that. It's been back a good bit. They thought they were the Spirit of Elijah. Well, see, somebody found that in the Word and read it, and they got into it and claimed it of their own. All right? But see, false Christ. The Christ is not false. All right? See, what Balaam done, now remember the way that we've tried to bring it out. Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel. Right? All right. Balaam said, I will go with you, but I'll only say what God tells me. Why? Because that prophet, he was a prophet in Israel, counted with the prophets. He prophesied, like I said, it's written in the Bible what he had to say. All right. Then that anointing that is on him, there's no difference in that anointing than what was on Moses. Oh, Moses was the Christ. And who's he over? Well, he's Antichrist. Well, Moses spoke and it was put in the Bible. Right? Balaam spoke, it was put in the Bible. And as far as what they were doing, what they were saying was in the Word of God. Balaam was speaking, it was put into the Bible. And just like Brother Brown said about Caiaphas, the high priest, remember? Caiaphas prophesied it was necessary that one die for the sins of the people. See, him being high priest, the anointing came on him and he prophesied that, and it was a fulfillment of the Scriptures. But yet he was false. Yet he turned around and had Jesus crucified. But the anointing that was on him was genuine. So don't get confused about that and say, well, I don't understand this anointing. Just get simply what's taking place. There's only one true anointing. One Christ. All right? Now, then in that, there's one Holy Ghost, one Spirit of God that can come and dwell on people and anoint them. All right? See, then we get to that and we consider the hour and the day that we're living to see where we're at about these. And like I said, you see many now going across to claiming to be the anointed one. Oh, I've got the message. I'm so-and-so's this. Brother Branham was wrong here. We got this. We got that. He was over here. I don't care what you say. I've told you that over and over. I may be as dumb and stupid as can be. I don't argue with you about that. But this message has brought me to Jesus Christ. So then I know the message is not wrong. Now the messenger the messenger had mistakes. He made mistakes. He said things that were wrong. He taught things that were wrong. Right? But that don't make the message wrong. Well, if he's wrong here, he's wrong over there. No, that's where people do it. A brother that came by here one time, a young man starting in the ministry, and he came and I let him come and preach for us. And boy, he was really on fire for the word, you know, and everything. But then he read one day, Brother Brown said, if you catch me wrong on one thing, he said, I'm wrong on everything. Well, now, there ain't a man in this world can say that with a sensible answer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that would be to the basis that he would never say anything that was wrong. Amen. The prophet wasn't saying that he was not wrong in sections. He was saying the message was right. Take the message, he said. See, because that's what it's supposed to be. All right? See, then that's what we're supposed to be in this hour to see what's taking place in the day that we're living. All right? Now, what about it's just genuine? Now, let's read a few things. And, you know, you say, well, I don't like to hear the prophet read. Well, then let's get up and go home. Okay, turn it off. That's no problem. I'm me. Okay? But you see, I was doing this way back. And all these doctrines, I've tried to get people to see that, and they don't do it. These doctrines that are floating around now saying Brother Brown was wrong, we were facing this back in 1970. We had ministers' meetings over these things in 1970. And I told them then just what I'm telling you. I don't care what you say about Brother Brown. That's between you and God. You better remember one thing. If he was a prophet, that's your choice, not me now. If he was a prophet, remember, if you kill a man's influence, you killed a man. Yeah, but we're not against Brother Branham. We're gonna keep Brother Branham around and quote. If you say one thing that he's wrong on, you better be willing to put it in the Word and see. Because if not, you're going to face God. That's as simple as I can be. Where are you at? That's where I stood for 40, 50 years now. And I don't have to change it. Because, see, I haven't found anything that was wrong. See? They had that in the church age book years ago. Remember, they had 17 things that was wrong. I put it out here, put it on the internet, put it on there. Oh, they sent out these letters. I said, send it to me. Come to me and let's talk about it. I said, I challenge you on that basis. That church age book is right. You come and show me where it's wrong. Don't come with some little silly something like we were talking about it last night. How are you going to do if you're in the Word and you say, well, we're in the Word. You got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wade was talking about this last night. Luke, and who is it? Mark. They were not original. Right? John and Matthew was original. Now, if I got them right, then make sure if you don't put the name in the right place, so don't be stupid about it. All right? See, two of those were not even original disciples. They never walked with the Lord Jesus. But yet Luke says, I love him for that. He says, read it right in the beginning in Luke. He says, having perfect understanding. Right? But yet, like Wade was saying, see, Luke said one blind man and John and him said two. Well, what is that? I mean, are you going to declare that that's the Bible that's wrong? I'm going to declare it's the Word of God written by mankind, that one saw two men and wrote of it and one just wrote of one man. That's simple. I'd tell you that and I was in the Baptist church. We didn't have no arguments over that. See? But that's what I'm getting at, see? We want to make it because somebody comes along and especially has some kind of a little following or has some kind of anointing, you know, going. And boy, they just flock to it and just run after it. They run a while, and then that flops off, and then they come back, and then they wait a while, and they take off after something else. Well, all right. We don't do that here. We try to do one thing. Just keep on staying with the Word. I found out it works. You know, I found out it works. It just, and it puts you toward that brother Altig. Remember, he said the other day that me and Wade was just kind of a little arrogant. They're what that word he used. Well, I agree with him. Ain't no problem. I'm arrogant. I'm proud. I'm proud of the Word of God. I'm proud of what God has revealed to me. Aren't you? Well, are you arrogant? No, I'm not arrogant. Well, what's the difference in arrogant and being stupid? Very little difference in the word. All right? See, but when I say things like that, people don't like me. But that's just the way I've always been. I've always believed if there is a God, if he can't keep his word straight, then he's not God. And God said he sent us a prophet. You can't go in there and try to define this and define that. You leave it alone and wait on God to make it revealed or manifest. Don't worry about it. It will be. It'll all come to pass in its time. Okay, now get on to that point. Think about it. So what we've been talking about now, the anointing, there's just one Christ. Now the devil was anointed. He was the anointed cherub. But remember, he was the anointed cherub, so somebody else had to anoint him.
Right.
Oh, is that sensible? If he was the anointed cherub, he wasn't God. All right? See, then he got his anointing from God. Satan had his permission or has his permission to use certain things against you and I.
Right.
That God allows to take place.
Right.
And what I love is that where we're talking about in Deuteronomy where he said, you know, I sent this among you to try you. So if a prophet comes and gives you a sign, but says to you to go after another God or another doctrine or another idea, you're not to do that. You're to stay with the Word. And let that Word be fully made manifest. But see, one genuine Christ. Not many. Now there's many Christ in the basis that are, many are anointed. But there's only one Christ. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Right? There's not many gods. Because if you're going to have many Christs, you've got to have many gods. But if you have one Christ, you can have one God. But he can anoint everybody in the world. That's no problem. Because see where that anointing goes. That's what we want to deal with today. Where that anointing goes. And what it does. All right? Now, it's a very valuable point, and we will cover as we go down, that in the Old Testament, before Calvary, all right, you had many that were anointed. But there's not one born-again believer in the Old Testament. Now, you show me where it's at. See, I know out west now they're saying that the 12 apostles, boy, they really got that from the Church of Christ, didn't they? Because the Church of Christ says only 12 had it. Now they're saying the 12 apostles said they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost before Jesus Christ died. Now tell me how. Tell me how. According to Hebrews, now I got these laying here if you want them. According to Hebrews, they can't have the testament without the death of the testator.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
All right? See, so there was no way. If you could be born again before Calvary, why did Jesus Christ die?
Right.
He died in vain.
Right.
I knew that in a Baptist church. Come on, where are we at? Oh, you don't like those things. Yeah, you were a smart aleck. There was one thing about it. I ain't never considered myself to be smart, but I guess I'll take the point of being an aleck. I ain't never figured out what that is yet. Somebody tell me what an elec is, and I'll probably say, that's me. All right? Because, you see, I believed it back then. We taught things. We taught the scriptures, and I'll get to in a few minutes, where that Jesus, the Holy Ghost, had not been given because Jesus had not been crucified or glorified. That was the Bible. We read that in the Baptist church and believed you couldn't be born again until the day of Pentecost. Because why would Jesus Christ have to come? You're making him die in vain if he could give eternal life. Yeah, but they had eternal life. They were potentially, because it had to go through processes to come on down. All right? So now think about it. Let's think about that Old Testament person. And let's think about how that he was and his situation that he existed in. And then you'll see that it's easy to understand. All right? We believe Moses, right? We believe Brother Branham said Moses telling God a better way of doing something. That was the Christ that was in Moses. Amen. But who was in Balaam? When Balaam told Balak, I cannot say nothing that God don't tell me to say it. And he didn't. What he wound up doing was getting an Israeli people over there with them Moabite women and got it all messed up. Then he got God to curse Israel because he couldn't do it himself. But when he found out, he seen Israel and seen what he did, he knew that all he had to do was just get them people in the wrong place and God would come on the scene. Because he couldn't do it. What about a false prophet standing there now and says, I can't do it. But you know what? He wasn't a false prophet until he come in the face of the prophet. He was a prophet of God with his script. Numbers 14 or 24 or whatever it is. I gave it the other day where his prophecy is in the Word of God. All right. See, we want to look at him as lost and gone and when God looked down, there wasn't but one thing to separate Moses and Balaam. It was not the anointing. They both had it. What was it that separated them? The Word. Moses had the Word. Balaam had part of it. Right? Because his part is in the Word. But he couldn't stand before that one that was the real Word. Right? Come on, even Janice and Jambres could throw their snakes down and they would turn, their sticks down and they'd turn into snakes. And like I said a while ago, Caiaphas, the high priest, because of being that anointing of that high priest would come on him and he would prophesy. But yet he turned around and had Jesus killed. But the anointing was right. There was nothing wrong with the anointing that was on Balaam. It was his teaching. Come on, you're supposed to read, the anointed one's den time. You're supposed to read that. I got plenty of that laying here. But you're supposed to read it. You're supposed to know these things. If you'll read it, you'll hear the prophet saying it. Well, why don't you do that? And then you don't have to argue, well, I don't know where Brother Dale's right or not. Well, read the book. Right? Read the book. Then come and tell me I'm wrong. But remember, bring the book. Right? Make sure you bring the book. Because we ain't going to talk about opinions. We're going to talk about the Word. All right? Now they said to Brother Branham, a genuine, one Christ. Go to number 3, we'll pick this up. What were they? Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T-S, anointed, Christ, and false prophets. anointed ones, but false prophets. Now listen to it. Jesus said that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So now that right there is enough to decide that the same Holy Ghost that was on Balaam was the same Holy Ghost that was on Moses. Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Do you understand that? So that solves any problem you'd have. Well, I don't know where Moses got. Moses got this, but Balaam got that. Come on, get off of it. You're trying to make up some kind of a story. Take the word of God and see what it says. Now, someone might say to me, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Holy Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they are false.
That's
all the problem now. Because we're going to read on down here, and he said, that's thus saith the Lord. Of course, now here we are. Let's be good. Of course, if you don't believe Brother Branham and the prophet and the message and all like that, then him saying, thus saith the Lord, don't mean a thing.
Right?
But it does to me. Because, you see, I happened to read, and I remember reading one day that Brother Branham was talking about Balaam, and he said to be a prophet in Israel meant a lot. Balaam was honored as a prophet. And he never turned false until he faced the word. He still had the anointing. He could still bring flies, fleas, and frogs if he needed to. Right? Because he was anointed. Right? He could call she-bears down like Elisha did. And Brother Ram said that was not the Holy Ghost, but he said it was the nature of the prophet.
Right.
But it worked. They told Brother Branham, said, tell us where that oil well's at. And said, we'll put it all in the work of the Lord. He said, I knew they wouldn't do it. He said, I wouldn't tell them. He said, somebody else come along and suck down, hit a gusher. See? Think about it was, he just knew. But here's my point, okay? Like something like that. If Brother Branham could tell you where an oil well was, he at least had some contact that I don't have. What about you? May I say it back and look at you? He had some contact you don't have. Does that offend you? Okay, no problem. Forget it. But is it true? Balaam could stand there and do those things. Janice and Jambres done everything Moses done except one thing. The one thing that was withholding, and it goes to the word. What was the one thing holding from what Janice and Jambres? You'll see it tied to the word. They couldn't take back what they brought. Go read your Bible. Janice and Jambres couldn't take back what they brought. But they could bring it. You say, I'm the cheap magician. You do it. You got the platform. I ain't going to call snakes. Come on. But I ain't stupid either. I know you ain't going to do it. So I don't have to worry about it. Come on. If we get up into the realm of the supernatural, why don't we think supernatural? You mean to tell me that there's a God that can no ever fly, ever nap, every time it bats its eye, everything that it does before the world ever begun? And we peanut brain bunch of idiots say, well, God was wrong there. Because that's what you're saying when you say the prophet was wrong. Come on, that's what you're saying if you're saying the prophet's wrong. Because the Brother Branham said, a prophet stands before no one. He goes directly to God. He has no limitations of human elements. That's why Balaam could not say anything that God didn't tell him. Even Balaam. We don't think like that. Come on. Listen close now and see what it is. And they shall show signs and wonders insomuch that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. and they are anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit. I know this sounds very foolish, but we're going to take time and explain it by the word that's absolutely thus saith the Lord. Now, you're not dealing with something that's just somebody's idea or thought. You're dealing with thus saith the Lord. Now, this is what I like, because I've tried to get this point across, and I keep bringing it up. I'll probably bring it up again. Okay, go ahead to number four, excuse me. Still on anointed ones. The teachings of Balaam, not the prophecies of Balaam. That was all right. That was God. Oh. How many believes that? How many believes that was God? Don't raise your hand. Congregation says amen. Prophecy of Balaam was exactly right. Because he couldn't speak nothing else. The anointing of God wouldn't speak nothing else. And God vindicated it by proving it was the truth. But it was the teachings of Balaam. And compare that with Matthew 24:24. Anointed ones, but their teaching is false. The Trinities and all these things like that. Wrong Antichrist. Now, I like this one. I hope your feelings don't get hurt. And don't turn them phones off. In other words, don't hit the button in there that I got two hearing aids and all I got to do is turn into this, cut the whole thing off. Don't do that. I hope your feelings don't get hurt. And don't turn them phones off. And don't get up and go out. Just sit still and listen if the Holy Spirit won't reveal it to us and prove it to us. You say, but that, just whatever you believe. In other words, you're saying it's just whatever. Just sit still and listen. Ask God to open your heart. Ask God to open your heart. Then you'll find out whether you're a briar, you know, sticky briar, ever how you pronounce that. I get my words. I'm Southern. Or a thistle. Or wherever you're standing. Now think about it. Ask God to open your heart so that you can find out whether you're born again or not. I know I'm born again. I'm this anointed ones. Yeah, but I believe all the word. Come on, it's in the anointed ones. I've got it in here. If I don't read it, you go ahead and read it when you get home. Brother Branham said, you say, does them anointed ones believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, sir. They believe in signs and wonders. They believe in all kind of things. Right. Okay. So, you know, we might find out whether we're born again or not by considering what the prophet has taught us about anointed ones. Now, when did he teach anointed ones? I know there's little lay-ins back through the message. I've read it all. Not everything, but I've studied it pretty well. But when did the message come out, anointed ones? After the opening of the seals. Okay. Let's see if that's right. Go ahead to number five. Still from anointed ones. Seeing all this accumulation of evidence that the hour that we now live in, I think it's a good thing to rehearse these things and draw them out since the seals has been opened. Right? And find out the truth of these things as God has been so loyal to us with his grace to show us these things. What is it? After the opening of the seals. He said, well, he knew about this. He knew it. That's what I said. There's little things put in there. Come on. We're not arguing. We're talking about truth. After the opening of the seals, these things came forth. Brother Brown said marriage and divorce was revealing the seals. Right? He said the rapture was revealing the seals. He said predestination was revealing the seals. He said everything was revealing the seals. Right? So then what did we have need of? not to bring us the message of the anointed, but to bring us the message of the opening of the Word, that we would find out where we are.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you offend me because you're saying I'm not born again. I ain't never told nobody that they wasn't born again. I'll say this and be honest with it. I won't call his name, but there was a brother who went to church here years ago, and he left here. And he went somewhere else. And he said the reason he left was because Brother Dale said he didn't have the new birth. Now, he lied. I didn't say that. So I went straight to his face and told him. I said, you know what I said. I said, you don't act like you're acting with the new birth. I didn't say he wasn't born again. I put it plain language. You don't act like you're acting and say you have the new birth. Right?
That's right.
I don't mind telling you the whole truth. Look, in the last days there shall rise false anointed ones. Now that seems almost impossible, see, the terms of anointed, but notice the very words, anointed. All right? After the opening of the seals, we didn't have understanding back before then. But now we have the understanding from the opening of the seals. But if the seals ain't broke to you, and that's what people say, the seals ain't broke to me, well, okay, then the seals ain't broke to you. You can't understand anointed ones. You don't understand marriage and divorce. You don't understand predestination. You don't understand any of those things if the seals are not broke to you. Because the prophet brought us the seals. That was what his message was to do, was to bring the entire plan of redemption called seven seals.
Right?
Now listen, I want to get this point in. Go ahead. See, then, in the Old Testament, of course I know people say that's what I said. It's already out in the message now that they're saying that what, or one man, I can call his name if you want me to, but it's all right. He said them 12 apostles had the Holy Ghost before Jesus was crucified. Now I challenge that on the basis of God's word, let alone what the prophet has said. We'll just take the Bible. We won't even study. We won't even say what the prophet had to say, because we know what he said. If he taught one Christ, you know what he said. All right? So now listen to what it's saying. That same anointing. Okay? All right? Now let's get something to put in here where we'll just have a little bit. We'll jump about a little bit. Now they have these. Okay, brothers, if you can bring up 7B. It's what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? It says, but in Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 21st to the 26th verse, he predicted that the spirit in this system would be so much like the real thing, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. The elected, whose names are put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and frankly, it got them so tied up until he said if he didn't cut the work short for their sake, there would be no flesh saved upon the earth. Now, I didn't say that. The prophet is the one that said it. You said, but I can't be deceived. I'm elect. I agree with you. I agree with you. No problem. The elect cannot be deceived. I agree with you 1,000%. But you can be so caught up with the devil and his doings until you were just listening before we came in today of the prophet, and he was explaining that the wife of Adam went into sin. Then he explained the wife of Jehovah went into sin. Then he explained the wife at Nicaea went into sin. Oh, I've seen preachers jump up and down and scream and holler and try to run on everything in the world. But he's still done it. Brother Brown said that bride should have never went down there to Nicaea. Right. Right. Oh, it wasn't a real bride that went down. Brother Branham said the real bride. Yeah, right. All right, you argue with him. I ain't arguing with you. I'm stating what he said. What did it need to argue about the other side? The true bride went to Nicaea to try to convert them and come back with ideas that took 300 years to develop it. Because there was some guy who was down there, you know, the thing, and they had Jesus as a demigod at the Nicene Council, 325 A.D.
That's right.
But listen, church, I'm trying to get you to think sensibly. Are you born again or not?
Right.
Well, I've done this, I've done that. The Old Testament saints. Let's just stay in the Old Testament. Look at the things in the Old Testament. Three Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace. Daniel thrown in the lion's den. David killing bear, lion, giant. You got to admit they were anointed. Right? But yet they were not born again. Well, I think they was. Well, all right, tell me where you get your thought from. Because the statement I asked you a minute ago, it solves the whole problem without saying anything else. If you were born again before Calvary, then Jesus Christ didn't have to die.
Right.
See, that's why people don't understand the new birth. Then they get all upset when you start talking to them about it because they think as you're trying to destroy their new birth. Come on. Can we read? I gave them this. They might not be able to pull it up. Modern events made clear by prophecy, brothers. There's a couple of laid on the desk there a while ago. I'm going to give you one that'll choke you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. Not at all. Not on that. Don't have anything to do with your soul. That's the baptism. See, here's the inside soul. And here, that has to come from God. Remember, in that spirit, you can be baptized with a genuine spirit of God and still be lost.
Right. Right.
Have I become your enemy because I found the truth and read it to you? To try to save your soul. But you got all your dependence upon something you done or didn't do or this or that, that instead of the one thing you can put it on. They have but one thing you can put your new birth on. That's whether or not that word has been revealed to you.
Right.
Anything else? The devil can copycat every one of them.
Right.
Well, I believe the word so far. I don't know. Okay, let's go a little further. Leadership. Come on. Remember, in that spirit, you can be back. Leadership. See, many of you think, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. Can I be just straight honest? Forgive me, Lord, for using words that are wrong. These stupid idiots that claim Brother Branham was wrong here and wrong there. Why don't they go in something like that and talk about it?
Right.
They ain't going to go in there because they don't know what he's saying.
Right.
They're blinded out to what he's saying.
Right.
If I was going to prove Brother Brown was wrong, I'd take him right there.
Right.
But I got enough sense to know he wasn't wrong.
Amen. Right, amen.
I know that he wasn't wrong. When he said you can be born again and then be baptized into the body. Amen.
Right.
Just get it in the right place.
Right.
Come on, what'd they say? You say, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell the Bible says so, that's exactly right. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe it after he said it? Well, I don't really know. See, now you're doubting it. Can you put your whole life on that statement? Now, wait a minute, Brother Dale, because you asked me to put my whole life on it, because I put my whole life back there one time that Brother Branham was White Horse Rider. He talked to White Horse Rider for 20, 30 years wrong. Amen, he did. And Clarence Larkin even taught it before Brother Branham come along that the White Horse Rider was the Antichrist. But that didn't make no change in it because Clarence Larkin wasn't a prophet. He just made a lucky guess. He had two choices and we took one or the other. Come on. What are you saying, Brother Dale? I'm saying one thing. Do we believe the Bible? And do we believe it's right? Amen. And is not to be questioned?
Right.
Yeah, but you say, but he did. And we all agree. Brother Branham for what, 30, 40 years? I know up to the church age book, because it's up into there when he gets into the one of the life things coming on up. We'll get to some other things in a minute. Why don't people get into that to show Brother Branham was wrong? They ain't got enough sense. Pardon my plain Georgia language. That's exactly what I mean and what I say. Because it's very simple. You remember the dream about the Pyramid Mountain? Right. You remember the bar that was whipped the top off and looked down in there and saw things. And Brother Branham, what did he say? He said, light had never shined on this. Light had never shined on the White Horse Rider as being the Antichrist, so it could be your guess or thoughts until it was brought out. But once it was brought out in the seals, that ended it forever. Right? It is very simple then. Well, I don't agree. Well, come on. You explain that. You explain how that Brother Branham could be the prophet. And I want you to explain this before you get up here so you'll know better to get up here. So if you start this away to say what you're going to say, just remember one thing. I'll show you we're in the same message that Brother Branham said the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost. He will say, if I am right, let God come on the scene and vindicate. And he came on the scene and vindicated it. Now, did God vindicate a lie? No. Light had never shined. There was no responsibility. That White Horse Rider was a sealed thing. There was no way anybody could bring that out until the seals broke to the prophet. Oh, you think about that first day when he seen that. He said, I was fixing to preach on the things that I had preached before. And he said, I would have been wrong. He said, and the Holy Spirit come and straighten me out. What about it? You see, we follow a message that's the message is infallible. The person wasn't infallible.
That's right.
He was a human element.
Amen.
Right? But the message we follow. But it had to be put into a place to be infallible. I like the way Brother Altig was bringing out some things, you remember? If until you're responsible, I'll put it in my words, okay? Until that come forth and those seals opened up, nobody was responsible. Brother Branham said, you say what I say because I am responsible. Right? Now, why did he say that? I mean, was he going to deliberately go out and lie about something or preach something wrong or do something? No. He just knew some things was not exactly settled. Because he knew Malachi 4 had not come. Because remember, spoken word and original seed, 1962, which was prior to this opening of the seals, he said Malachi 4 is not fulfilled yet. That's on spoken word and original seed. Amen. See, until the prophet brought light, may I state another one? I was listening to a tape one day and I thought, oh, I'll run it back and listen. Brother Brown said the Baptists just become a denomination. That was long in about 60. I thought, oh God, what's wrong here? The Baptist was a denomination 200 years before then or something. They had never rejected his message. When they rejected his message, they become a denomination. Every one of them denominations stood before that prophet. I don't care what their dates was. They stood before him. Because when he brought that word, pure and unadulterated, that's what he said. He said, they've done this and they've done that. He said, and it's been brought pure and unadulterated. Amen. He brought it right.
Amen.
This message is 1,000% correct.
Amen.
Show me one flaw in it. Other than some mistake you make or a thought or something you say. Just listen a while. I got it in here to bring. I won't get to it today. I'll get it this evening. Brother Branham, from the time he started up until 60, almost the opening of the seals, he taught body, soul, spirit. Named them. Gave their, what happened? After the opening of the seals, he's taught body, spirit, and soul. You say, but he never corrected it. He didn't have to, because he was right. You say, how can he be right over here and right over there? That's what I ought to just leave it with you in order to go home and say, forget it. You're so smart about it, now tell me. But you see, he never changed the senses of any of those three places. In his early ministry, he always gave you body, five senses. He always gave the second rim, no matter what he called it, five senses, memory, reason, conscience. He always gave the center rim one sense, either faith or doubt. That's identically what he'd done after the opening of the seals. It didn't matter. He just changed the wording. Because there's Hebrews 4:12. How many of you know what Hebrews 4:12 says? That the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the dividing between the soul and the spirit, and joining the marrow.
That's right.
See, church, that's where we've waited for this. Waited for, why? The message has been brought to us.
Yes. Amen.
See? Why can't we just hold on long enough to get it?
Amen.
Like I was saying there a minute ago about the the point of the word, it would be a short word. See, the original translation, when it comes to Matthew, go ahead, number 7b. Okay, we done got that, frankly. All right, 7c. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. A short work. That means he was intending, I mean, human thinking, he was intending to let it go out another 1,000 years, but he decided to cut it off. Is that what it's saying? That's the point, that he was going out, but he decided not. That's not the scripture. It's the scripture, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Go to the next one, 7b. The definition of the word work. He shall do a short word. Look at it. Word, saying, account, speech, a word uttered by living, the embodiment of conception. That thing's that long if you want to keep reading it. Just check it out. It doesn't mean a short work like he was going to let it run out so long, but he cuts it short.
Right.
An infinite God knows every second and everything what's going to take place and right to the T. But it's a short word word. He's going to pour the word in fast in the last days. I've said that since I come in the message. I could see it because that was the meaning. It's the opening of the word. Because the word's the only way you'll know. Brother Branham, I got them in here. How are you going to know whether these are anointed ones or whether you're not? He said it's only by the word of the day of the hour. Because you tell me anything that you say you know you're saved because of so-and-so. I shouted, I cried, I spoke in tongues. Everything Satan can impersonate. But there's one thing he can't do. He can be so close, but listen, he can't be the Holy Ghost. Satan can't do that. And he can't bring it word by word. So you see what they're doing in the last days. They're picking apart the message into little things of what the prophet is saying. Trying to tear apart and get you to where that you don't have confidence in the message. Now don't tell me I'm too old. Sorry. Don't tell me it don't bother you what is being done in this last days. If it don't bother you, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. May I quote the Bible and the prophet? Sighing and crying for the abominations done in the city. Is that the evidence of the Holy Ghost? That's what your prophet said. You mean it doesn't bother you? Things that are taking place that don't bother you? We were up to get way to tell you. We were up in Illinois hunting. Supposed to hunt another day. We found out about what happened with the brother. And how that had happened and what had took place. Brother Forney was to minister that weekend for us. I said, go ahead, go hunt. I'm not going. I said, you hunt. I said, that's all right. We'll hunt because we were going to leave early the next morning to come back. But we couldn't have left, you know, hardly, which we did leave early enough when we got here right at the end. But I said, go ahead. He knew I was just pacing the floor, thinking about those poor old people. 300 or 400 people in that church. And those brothers that had been with him 30, 40 years, 50 some of them probably. And yet he comes out and denounced the message. That broke my heart. It broke my heart for Brother Forney. I said, wait, let's go home in the morning. We were planning on this, you know, sleeping later and coming home because we wasn't going to be able, we were going to stop by a church there in Kentucky, be in the morning service. Because we don't go when we leave, we go to church on Sunday. Huh? I said, let's go on. Because it just burdened my heart. I love that brother over there. Known him for 30 years or more. Known Brother Forney 40 years probably. It just broke my heart. It don't break your heart about somebody falling. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need to get straight with God because of the sighing and crying for the abomination done in the city. And I ain't going to say nothing. Some of these brothers we were talking the other day, I told them, I said, I have nothing to say about anybody. I'm not going to throw off on them and say they're lost. I have nothing to say about these brothers that have went off the message except that pray that God will keep you and me from going. Because without Him keeping us, we will fall. Oh no, I'm in the message. Okay, it's the message in you. Do you understand? He's going to do a short word. He's going to pour the word in the last days. And you look at it. That's what's taking place. But what are all this others doing? Okay? Just forgive me. You say, you said a moment ago, let's just take the Bible. All right, in the Old Testament, they could not have the new birth. So let's read the Bible. If they can pull these up, go ahead and start and get number 8. Matthew 18:3. And said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, were they converted? Come on. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee. Who is this? Peter. That thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What does converted mean? They were not converted back there. Nicodemus, he comes to him and says, you must be born again. If he had to be born again, there was something wrong with the way he was born to start with. Right? And he couldn't have eternal life. Nicodemus was the greatest teacher of all Israel. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter. What is the Comforter? Oh, okay, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, and he shall testify of me. The Comforter. Who's the Comforter? But when the Comforter, John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Okay, just got through reading that one. John 16:7, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. What are you saying? Jesus Christ had to come and be crucified and on a cross and go away before the Holy Ghost could come. That's plain sense. Come on. I know you don't like it. We taught this in the Baptist church. My Bible didn't change like most of people's did. It was the same Bible I read. John 16:7. Oh, well, wait a minute. We done got it. Speak of you that I go not away, the Comforter won't come. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all things. He'll speak. Hebrews 9:16. For there where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Is that plain enough? Oh, but they want to get on to something like this. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, they say, well, Brother Dale right there says that he breathed on them and they, no, he didn't say they received it. Come on. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. When he breathed on them, saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham, what does that mean? Of course, if he's not a prophet, we don't need him. Sister Tootsie, get up and tell us what this means. She ain't going to get up and say it because she ain't no woman preacher. Right? She got no sense not to be one. You understand what I'm getting at? I'm trying to get a truth to where we can look at it. Brother Branham. Okay, 1964, questions and answers. Dear Brother Branham, what is the difference when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive you the Holy Ghost, and when they had to go to the upper room to tarry? It was a promise he gave them. Breathed upon them his promise. Said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was a promise. They went to the upper room to wait for the promise to be fulfilled. The same thing is when we lay hands upon you, and you be healed, then you go about your business waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. See, we've got the answer to people that come up with it and say, well, it says right here that he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, what are you going to say? Okay, go ahead. John 7:37. In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Give your Bible answer then. Now somebody comes along and says, just pull it out and give it to them in the Bible. See, the Bible plainly tells you what it's saying. They could not get the Holy Ghost until Jesus Christ was crucified. Right? But yet we're in the message. We believe Brother Branham taught this. And so we're saying that you know, you can get born again before. Well, you just swap places with the Church of Christ, because the Church of Christ said the 12 couldn't get the Holy Ghost. Now you're saying they could. So you just swap doctrines. Right? You don't want me to say who that's from now. Look. Anointed ones. Anointed ones. Those Old Testament people could be anointed, but they could only be anointed on their spirit because their soul was black as soot.
Right. That's right.
Now you tell me how it could be made any other way. Their soul was black as soot. It don't matter how good they was, who they were born in, what family, or what this was or that was. Don't have nothing to do with it. Their soul was black as soot.
Right.
Brother Branham said David, all he needed, said he had the word. You remember he said it? I believe it was David in the Psalms, wasn't it? He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said all he needed was the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Then I've always said this way. You just think about David, kill a bear, a giant, a lion and a giant without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
What would happen had he got it? He just put them all together and says, bring your brothers. Right? Because right? He claimed he had about four or five more brothers. You know, come on. You understand?
Right.
See, may I quote some things? David would not have committed adultery had he had the new birth in the soul.
Right. That's right.
A lot of things can be said, but I hope you get it. Those people in the Old Testament did not have no new birth. They did not have eternal life. All right? But yet, look at all the things that took place in their lives. One man jumped down in a pit one day and just killed a lion. It was just no problem to them. Why? Because they knew they were anointed. You remember my story about David? See, David killed a lion and a bear. All right? But yet he winds up and he gets anointed of Samuel. Like I said, he just said, put them all together. Because David knew. You don't think about anointing like this. This is what I think. Anointing, I'll get to it one of these days and preach on. Anointing is not this, that, or the other. It's not signs and wonders. Anointing is supreme power in control. That's what your prophet said. Now. All right. And there David was in all of these things. And David doing all the things he was doing, but yet he had that anointing. David knew Samuel was a prophet. There's how much he trusted it. Do you trust this prophet as being the prophet of Malachi 4? Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7. Do you put your whole life on it? See, David walked out there and faced everything that was in his way on one thing. Samuel anointed me to be king of Israel. He knew he could not die, be killed, run over, done whatever, until he sat on that throne. Now, I think David was smart. After he climbs up and sits down on the throne, he said, "Oh, Lord, I don't have no anointing." Right? I'm serious. I think when he got to facing it, he said, "I don't have the anointing now because I couldn't be killed until this took place. Now I can be killed because I don't have any word for it." Samuel, where are you at? Tell me the future. And he come back and told him. See, did we put our confidence in Brother Branham being a prophet? Do we put our confidence in the basis of the prophet of this day told us these things? See? I don't understand everything he said. I ain't never claimed to. But I've always said this. You give God time, he'll give you the answer. There's where the trouble's at. We try to figure it out. When I preached Daniel 70 weeks, 1974, you ought to see my book. My book had a question mark. Everything Brother Branham said, I didn't know what he said. It had a question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. I'd read the book and I could put it up. Because, hey, remember what the prophet said in Daniel 70 weeks? If you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you don't understand the seals, the piles, the plagues. And that. Now, I didn't say that. He's the one that said it. Huh? You see, I'd put that book up and then I'd come back and I'd read it again. Take off about half that question. You know, because something is coming through. Something's filtering through. And then after a while, I just race that question off. I would not preach Daniel 70 weeks with one question mark marked. You can have my book and look at it. With one question mark in that book. I wouldn't preach it. Because I knew I wouldn't write. But now, I stand on that and have for 40 years. Come and let's see. The prophet taught it and we believe it. Go right back where we started. How are we going to know whether we're born again or not? You can't do it by his... Now, get what I'm saying right. You can't understand the early ministry of the prophet and the later ministry as being the same ministry and come out together with the right answer. You've got to have them, you know, maybe I said that wrong. You've got to have the early ministry and the later ministry. You know what I'm saying? You know what they're teaching in the message? You can't touch Brother Branham back in the old days, but after the seals broke, we'll take what he said. Well, boy, you're in bad shape.
That's right.
But I will tell you that there's a truth to it. That when Brother Branham talked body, soul, spirit, it set the stage where you're two soul people. Could quote Brother Branham. And they said this way, the soul is just the nature of the spirit. They messed up. There's not a quote where he said that.
Right.
Yeah, but I've got thousands. Bring me one where he says that it's just the nature of the Holy Spirit. No, he always said it was the nature. You say, well, what's that carnal? That's stupidity, Dale. No, it's not too stupid to me. It means one thing. If you say it's just the baptism, it can be anything. But if you say it is the baptism, now you got the Bible. Let me stay with this word. Come on, musicians. Let me get planted into this word. You say, well, you're not afraid to produce what you believe? No way. I'm glad to produce what I believe.
Amen.
To preach what I believe. To declare what I believe. Because what I've stood on has made the point to where that a lot of these questions and answers, if you'll wait on God, God will give you the answer.
Amen.
But if you try to figure it out yourself, he don't have to give us no answer. Leave it alone. I've never tried to make nobody believe what I believe. My family, my wife, my kids, grandkids, or anybody. I don't try to make nobody believe what I believe. I try to preach what I believe. But I challenge you to bring one thing and show me where I've missed the prophet's message. Oh, you're getting exalted. No, what is that word Brother Aldrich was saying? A little arrogant. Okay, a little arrogant. Put a little stupidity on top of it and you're coming down pretty well where I'm at.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just that honest to say one thing. I don't care what they say about the prophet. Because I'd like to see them come and stand before somebody that was genuine and them say the prophet was wrong. And you say, okay, you produce it. You produce it. Because if he's wrong, you're greater than he is. If you can straighten out God, we need to follow you. That's where people are not getting this spirit in the last day. The Antichrist spirit that's not getting it. Come on, give me a second. They're not getting it. Why? Because God has sent this among us to try us to see if we'll stay with the word or not. He left it to us. He said one day, he said, God wants to prove that this bride is not to fall like Eve fell. Just for some little something. Oh my. You want some questions? Come and let's talk about questions. Don't play with your little bitty ideas. Get in the truth. See, we might find out we're just anointed ones. Okay, we're going to get to that this evening, so I'm going to go ahead and say it this way. There's no difference in the anointing that was on Moses than there was the anointing that was on Balaam. I don't know whether you agree with that. That's your business. If you agree, then you set yourself up on a stage. Because here comes the next one. Where does the anointing fall? Okay, we got the prophet. It falls on your spirit. Okay, we'll get to that this evening. It falls on your spirit. Okay, amen. It falls on your spirit. Now, we got that settled. Okay. What about a true born again believer? Where does it do? I've preached it and continued it ever since I started in this message. A born-again believer is anointed in his spirit. A false prophet is anointed in his spirit. It's the same thing. There's only one difference. The true, genuine, according to the Bible, when Jesus sowed the seed, the Bible said, they took the word and held it. When the Holy Ghost fell, all it had to come down was on your spirit and anoints the word that's in your soul and makes your soul alive. There's your new birth. There's your anointed ones. And there's your new birth. Is that soul in you? Does it agree with the word? Let's stand. What do we got, brother?
Oh, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my heart.
Anybody have a need? See, don't go through life just wondering. Find out. chopped up in every way, but yet we try our best. Lord, we're just trying to talk about you and what you're doing among us, and your ways and your actions and things. And trying to give honor and due to the prophet of God for this age that brought us the word. We don't have no problems. We just march on with you and just let everything fall into the way it goes. And we love you, Father, and thank you. Be with the sick among us. Reach down and touch your wife there, Father, and just deliver her from the old things that's bothering her in her head and her stomach and the things, Lord. And remember the others, Brother Dickie, Lord, Brother Al, Brother Collie. Touch them and take away these things that science says they have. But we believe you, that by your stripes they're healed. And we thank you. And we commit it all to you now in Jesus' name. You dismiss. Remember the service this evening.
Mother's hour call.
Do not pass me by.